All Greek city-states want to get back their POWs. The Athenians make a big issue of this in 421 BC, when several hundred were still in the hands of the Thebans, men who had been captured at Delium some 3 years earlier. And so to take selectively the Spartan case of being concerned about citizens and hold it up as an example of citizen of a demographic decline, that is a bit deceptive. All Greek city-states were relatively small in their citizen body. They were face-to-face societies. These assemblies represented men who voted themselves and their families to go to war. And when citizens were captured in large numbers by the opposing side, it was all important to get them back because they were the relatives of voters in the assembly. And the assembly, no matter how the government was organized, oligarchic, democratic, whatever, the assembly was ultimately sovereign. And this would be a burning issue in any Greek city-state. So it's a bit deceptive to say that Sparta was in decline because of that one instance. It is important to stress that the Spartans and Peloponnesians found ways to finance that war just as the Athenians. And there's two pieces of information that point in that direction. One is an inscription usually dated to 426 BC in which the Spartans have collected ships, grain, money, both coined and plate, from various allies and well-wishers and even neutrals, including the island of Melos, a point we'll return to when we get to the Melian dialect. It's also clear that the Spartans assigned the construction of ships to the various members of the Peloponnesian League, and that Sparta herself, in the ports of the Perioeci, launched a number of triremes, and rather than having the concentrated facilities that Athens had, the Spartans used an older system, or a putting-out system, in which each naval ally was assessed a certain number of ships and was responsible to construct them and launch them on orders from Sparta. We know from other evidence that the Peloponnesians had to pay their forces when they were on expedition. And there were conventions arranging for the pay and the collecting of money to support those coalition forces. And furthermore, those arrangements evolved eventually into a system formalized by King Agesilaus in the generation after the Peloponnesian War. And King Agesilaus of Sparta is the great king of the Spartan hegemony. And in this instance, allies could either furnish soldiers or commute the service by cash payments. And these are arrangements that went back into the Peloponnesian War, which were now formalized, and then the Spartan state could hire mercenaries, professionals, put them under Spartan officers, and the Spartans were quite successful in mobilizing these types of coalition armies of mercenaries and allies in the generation after the Peloponnesian War. And King Agesilaus II, who ruled from 399 to 360 BC, was really a great military leader, in many ways the prototype of Macedonian kings and Hellenistic kings who were to follow. So, clearly, Sparta had difficulties. There were subject populations. In 397 BC, we're told there was a would-be revolt among the Perioeci that the Ephors detected, Perioeci, Helots, and other dependent groups. But on the whole, the Spartan system held up very well. And we don't have the instance of Spartan allied towns or Peloponnesian allied towns of turning their cities over to the Athenians. That is, the discontent among the allies never got to the point where they would consider Athens as an alternative. The one exception in 424 BC was Megara, where perhaps they might have succeeded if it had not been for bad luck. At the same time, some of the members of the Peloponnesian League suffered very severely. The demands on Megara and Corinth were high. And archaeological evidence based on trade patterns of the Corinthian goods suggests that Corinth paid dearly for her victory, and that large amounts of Corinthian trade were disrupted, that Corinth lost out in her traditional markets in the northwest and in Sicily, at least in the generation after the Peloponnesian War. There's an extremely good study on the Corinthian archaeological material. In many ways, I always think that it wasn't so much Spartan decline that was the consequence of the war, moral, demographic, or otherwise, but the rise of Thebes. Because in the course of the fighting, the Spartans came to depend ever more on the Thebans, who united their region in central Greece, the very wealthy region of Boeotia, which means cowland in Greek, and is essentially broken up by the great lake Copais, which has now been drained and turned into agricultural land, and that the Thebans, using Spartan organizational methods, began to take over a position of hegemony in central Greece, and that the Spartans, to spare their own citizens and Peloponnesian allies, turned ever more to the Boeotians. And the significant fact is, it isn't Athens who brought down the Spartan hegemony. It was Thebes. And the Thebans did so by following their Spartan masters.